welcome back to Reality NSFW. I am your host, Alex Trias. I'm back, and I'm here with Lauren Pratt. Lauren, how are you? What were your thoughts on tonight's episode, or yesterday's episode?
Glad to have you back. Definitely missed you last week, but Johnny and I think held down the fort pretty well. But this episode for me, you know what? I'm digging this season, but it just was very predictable, but still a solid episode.
Solid episode, and unfortunately Johnny wasn't able to make it. He had a pegging incident, so was not able to make it. Turnaround's fair play, bud. I missed last week's episode's recap, but I enjoyed the episode last week. I thought it was very good. I obviously, as a Kyle fan, love seeing him get an elimination win. It was his third pole wrestling win. He's 3-0 in that comp. So good on him. He's now on the Sapphire team after bouncing Nelson out of it. Ooh, Nelson came in hot.
Oh, he was guns blazing coming at Kyle. I wasn't prepared for it. I mean, we saw obviously a little bit of it in the preview that Nelson was going to like go off. But to that extent was a little much, in my opinion, only because people have to understand it's a game and people want to be on the best team. Kyle's point was very valid. I want to run a final if I can with CT because Kyle thinks CT is the best competitor that's there. So you can't blame somebody for taking your spot. It's going to happen. This game is very shifty.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely is shifty. And that's the game. And I understand Kyle's mindset of wanting to work with the champions. At this point in time, this is what they had to believe is worst case scenario. We're running in these cells. And so I might as well pair myself up with the two people who've actually done the job and won it. So I'm all on Team Kyle here. And it was just also very strange to me because I really don't think we truly saw a lot the friend dynamic of Nelson and Kyle. Like Nelson was claiming that Kyle said he was his number two and all that, but I feel like every single season it's Nelson and Corey calling Kyle a snake. So I'm like, at some point the snake's gonna snake you, especially when you're the one who's constantly calling him out as a snake. Like, it's gonna happen.
Well, that too, and he had expected a little bit. I mean, you knew what Kyle's agenda was, and I guess it's hard for some people when someone actually pulls the trigger and makes the move that's beneficial for them. But also, Nelson is with his pal Corey, and actually, they're pretty strong themselves. Yeah, that team Ruby is a little on the weaker side, especially now after what happened in this elimination.
Yeah. Yeah, and we get some comments from like the peanut gallery here, and the main one I like is from Ashley, where she's like, it's like what you were saying, it's a game, you have to expect these things to happen, and if you want to change that up, you need to find your way down an elimination win and get your spot back. Like, that's how you do it. That's the challenge for you. You have to risk it in order to get those wins.
I agree with you. Now I do want to know, do you think? Do you think Kyle made the right decision?
Yeah, I think Kyle made the right decision. He didn't vibe as well with the Ruby group. Felt like he had two strong competitors on the other tribe waiting, or on other cell waiting for him. I think that's the move you have to do. But like going into that, it's all about keeping your cells strong at the moment. And we get that main talking point. That's like the theme of this episode is eliminate weakness. And like we get it from Tori saying like this, it's still a very political game. You might as well remove weak players because worst case scenario, you're running with the group that you're currently with.
Now, the real question is, do you actually think they're going to run this final in teams?
No, I think it goes back into like a pair style man-woman pairs or like. It's like a combination of that, like individual, but you get split off into pairs like, for each like round of the final. You have to look at that and be like, they haven't ran that type of final in so long. And the challenge isn't one to really go back into that unless you're doing like all stars.
Well, I see, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking they're going to go to the final and do mixing and matching with different pairs, depending on which stage they're at in the final. And I actually prefer that. I think it's interesting to see because people have to make crucial decisions on when it's someone's strength in order to pick them for that right spot. And because people suck at certain things and people are amazing at certain things. And if you pick incorrectly, then you lose. If you pick right, then you can be a winner.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the name of the game is be around people and try to make sure you're linked up with someone who complements your weaknesses. So, like, for example, if like the Emmy and CT dynamic, like Emmy's strong. She's one of the stronger girls there, but she's not confident in herself, can't really be a leader, and isn't good in the mental side of the game of math and puzzles. Where bring in CT, he's also really well-rounded in the physical style, but also has the puzzle and the leadership qualities that you would need in order to have a strong duo there. I think that's what's going to happen. But we get some more conversation. We get to see more of like the more grown up Corey in this episode, like trying to like be that like a good friend for Nelson, a good friend for Bettina, like trying to help calm their nerves. Just be like, hey, we can like find the positives. I like that from Corey.
He's done a lot of pep talks for certain people this season, and I have enjoyed it as well. But he also has done really well with listening to certain people and hearing out what's going on, what their issues are, and trying to find a way to help them. Because Corey has been calculating the numbers. Do I think he has the numbers? No. But he's at least trying. So,
right.
You know what? If you can't get the numbers, it's not from a lack of trying. It's just because other people got them before you did.
Yeah, I agree. So it gets us to that workout montage that they always do, even though I will say my favorite part of that montage, Big T laying down on a floaty in the pool with a face mask on while everyone else is working out is a mood, and is another reason why I just love Big T.
Oh, yeah. She was just eating up, chilling in her little floaty. I don't even know what she was actually eating, but then asking for Tori to rescue her. It's just iconic Big T moment.
That's what you want from Big T. We know that she's never going to be the strongest or like a true, at the moment, a true like threat to win. I just like the levity and the positiveness of her. So that was fun for me. But yeah, we get back into Bettina's being talked about by Amanda, Ashley, and Josh, and a little bit of Emmy too. Just like it seems like a pretty downtrodden, like you're beating someone when they're down. Like they're like, oh, she's the weakest, she doesn't deserve to be in the game. And it's like, when you come to deserving, like, come on, you're just like stroking each other's egos at this moment. I felt bad for Bettina here.
Well, it's hard to, especially it being your rookie season and not that many rookies are left in the game at all. And I think when you hear people talking about you, because clearly she overheard the conversation when she was in the bathroom, and that makes it even more difficult. Now, that's one thing I do want to bring up. I think people need to be a little more self-aware with their surroundings on what's going on, because you really could spill the beans that can impact your game. Now, that's not really going to hurt them talking about Bettina, Amanda, Josh, and Ashley, because quite frankly, those three probably don't even care if Bettina hurt them or not.
Right. And it's like you also see like CT talking about it. It's like he sees Bettina and Amanda as weak players. So now he's like trying to start this, sprinkling the seeds into Emmy to be like, hey, you should try to get into elimination and join my team. Like, I need strong girls. He sees Emmy as someone who's controllable but also strong. So, perfect fit.
Oh, Emmy is absolutely a powerhouse. But I also have to say, Amanda to me is not weak. I think she's weaker than Emmy, but at the same time, having Amanda on your team is not a liability, in my opinion.
Right. And I agree. Like, I think Amanda's strong in different ways. And like we see in this episode, she's strong in terms of her social politics and like being able to, like when she does a threat, they believe her threats because she's not one to like really truly lie about her intentions. She'll make her intentions known in order to get her way, which is good on her. But I didn't like this side of Emmy where she was just like just shit talking Bettina really for no reason. And like saying like, oh, she doesn't deserve to be in the game. I don't know why she's crying. I'm like, don't you remember when she eliminated the champ
mm-hmm.
in elimination? Like she's not worthless. Like, she's done stuff. Like, maybe she's not the best at the daily missions, but, like, she isn't just a standby.
Right, and I could see people saying that if Bettina had never gone into an elimination, but Bettina went in and did amazing in that elimination, and it's not as though she hasn't done anything on the season. She absolutely has. But I think other people's perspectives is they see her as one of the weaker links, and therefore it's easy just to get on someone that everyone else is already piling on.
Right, and, like, in reality, yes, Bettina is the weakest. Like, it's pretty clear to watch that. Like, maybe you can make a case Big T is, but I think Big T could beat her too, depending on the elimination type. But that's, like, the main plot points we get prior to the daily mission. So we're going to go there now. And we find out, and we already knew this because it was hyped up before this whole week. This marks the 500th episode of the challenge. It has now been around across four different decades. Hey, that's a huge milestone.
Absolutely. And just I'm so excited that the challenge has been on this long, because they do change so many different things about it. I mean, if you look how it used to be, those were like backyard games that they were doing. Now this is serious and intense, and you have to be physically and mentally strong to get through these challenge seasons.
Absolutely. It's like different. Obviously, like, when you have more of a budget than you used to back in the old days, like, you're gonna do more intense things. They want to hype themselves up now more so than ever as the fifth major sport. Like, things are just gonna be more intense, but the social politics of the game has always existed. It's just now there's other more physical aspects to it. Also, the disrespect there when they were showing all the teams and they only show the top of Ashley's head.
Yeah, you can't do Ashley dirty like that. I mean, she's one of the queens of the confessionals.
Yeah, it's like they showed literally every other person except Ashley in this, and I felt bad for her.
Doing the champions dirty. You can't be doing that to them. They would never do that to CT. What is this?
They didn't do it to CT. But we have a good old-fashioned challenge. More of a headbanger, and it was called Brush Contact, and it was three rounds, so all the three teams had a chance to be offense or defense. Defense, obviously, you're trying to remove the bags or push the people out of bounds so that they don't move their $10,000 worth of bags over to their site, but it starts with the men. The men try to get to the halfway point with their bags that have different amounts of money. The girls then take those bags plus any additional bags that were in the mid zone or safety zone, pass the girl defenders to the end zone, get whoever has the most money at the end wins. Straightforward challenge. I like it. I like something that's like, there's not a thought process to it. It's literally, you're just watching people essentially play flag football.
For sure. It was a simple challenge, easy to execute, easy to do. However, Ruby and Sapphire stood a 0%, chance of winning that challenge. They were out from the start. As soon as TJ explained it, they might as well have just sat on the sidelines and had a picnic.
So do you think with how they did this, obviously Ruby and Sapphire at the time only had five people each. Do you think they should have had someone on Emerald sit out to allow it to be even numbers? Or is it, you know, this is the challenge, it's different than the other shows, if you have the numbers, that's good on you?
So I have mixed feelings about it. So I would say yes and no, and I'll give reasons for. In previous seasons, we have seen where they have had to sit people out if they've had more numbers. However, this is a new era of the challenge in the sense of they should be rewarded for having more people because they earned that. They were the winning team, and too bad.
Okay. Yeah, well, we know right away that Nelson is coming for your ass, Kyle. He's coming for that ass. You know, okay. I love you, Nelson. I love that you just keep the anger. I love it. It makes you fun.
Well, it wasn't the same way that Emmanuel went for Tori's ass in the last episode.
No. In a different type of biting way, yes. but... Yeah, so the first round, it's the Emerald team's on offense, Sapphire's on defense. Yeah, it's like CT says, he traded in two new sports cars for like an old, like used pickup truck in Kyle. Yeah, but like really Emerald just, it's just this challenge was just showing how more dominant Emerald is. Big factor that you have five veterans in there, and you have Emmanuel, who's the better of the remaining rookie men left between him and Logan. It was domination.
Yeah, they just didn't, they didn't stand a chance whatsoever. I mean, the thing about it is, if you have an extra person, that severely helps you because then you can team up on somebody. It's just a simple game, and Emerald just executed it, and that's it, point blank, period.
But let's hit the highlights here. So we start right off the jump there. Josh is thinking he was Fessy at one point in the NCAA, playing some college football. I don't think he was playing D3, though. He was looking some D2 there. Not quite at D1, but he pulls that Heisman. Pulls the Heisman on Kyle, shoves him over, and gets past him. Love it for Josh. Good on Josh.
Where would you rate that stiff arm in comparison to most?
That was decent. It's like, it's Kyle. Like, if he tried doing that to CT, I think CT just gnaws the arm off. But, you know, he got the job done, so it was serviceable.
And then everyone on the sidelines just cracking up about it. I enjoy that because sometimes the things Josh does is so unexpected. And then when he executes it really well, how can you not enjoy it? It's great because Kyle talks a lot of shit and rightfully so. I mean, he can most of the time back it up, but in this instance, Josh had him.
Yeah. And like overall the women, then like you really see just like the big difference. Like you have the three outside of Emmy, you have like the three strongest women on the same team, mainly Tori and Casey, just because of their like muscle and size on the other girls. Like Ashley, I love Ashley. She's just like, Casey actually was a football player. Like I was a cheerleader. I have no shot stopping her. And so like overall, Nani loses like her bags, but she only had, I think, like 2,000. They get 8,000 across.
Well, and that's the other thing, too. They knew exactly who to give the bags to because realistically speaking, they're like, all right, these people are definitely going to probably get across. Give them the more expensive bag so we can cash that in.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's next round. And now the Sapphire is on offense. Ruby's on defense. CT and Kyle are like, we'll just try to have some fun with the smoke and see what happens. Did not work out well for them.
No. Not at all. I liked having the smoke in there. It was just a different aspect to the game.
It was silly. It was fun. It's the most bomb thing that they've had in any of their challenges yet. Literally. Being a smoke bomb. But CT gets knocked out with like most of the money. And Kyle loses one of the bags, but like gets 1,000 across. But then it's literally just like the girls just get slaughtered by Emmy for the most part. And Emmy was getting pretty brutal on Bettina there. Like some swift up kicks into the throat.
Oh yeah. I wasn't expecting that, but then when it happened, I go, woo, they're not messing around.
Like that's vicious.
TJ didn't say anything, so I guess it was legal.
No, it's all fair. It's, you know, it's contact. Like, and at that point, you could like say it was incidental, even though you know it wasn't incidental.
Oh,
like
no,
she's trying to kick you. But if it was too rough, they would have said something. But it's a contact. You're tackling. You're trying to escape. Like you're going to have that stuff happen. But hey, unfortunately, Bettina was trying to have a little grudge thing with Emmy there and Emmy with Bettina. So no one was there to help Ashley. They only get 3,000 across.
Yeah, and Ashley was pissed. And I don't blame her because they probably should have given her a little bit of a hand there. But at the same time, I think Bettina was a little bit out of her element with that particular challenge.
Right. But it keeps good now, like going into CT's like complaints about the girls on his team of like they're just too weak. They're too small. Like they just don't like, this is why I need someone like Emmy. Look what Emmy's doing to these girls. They're intimidated by her.
Right. And that's the thing too. Size plays a huge factor, especially in the headbangers and the physical competitions. You see it time and time again with a hall brawl. Typically the person that is the bigger one wins. You could be more agile than your opponent, but if you're smaller, you most of the time don't stand a chance.
Right. Now it goes into our third round, Ruby offense versus the Emerald defense. I liked the what Corey and Nelson and Logan were trying to do. They get most of their stuff across. I did love Logan trying to have his inner Tom Brady moment, but it was a technicality. It doesn't count, even though they got it across, because it wasn't carried and ran through. But I liked the creativity there.
Well, and you have to give it to them. They were trying to come up with a strategy because they knew they probably didn't stand that much of a chance, and they were trying to outthink it a little bit and see it wasn't going to work out.
Okay. Your connection is a little bad right now, Lauren. And she's frozen right now, so I'm just going to talk. It wasn't great there. And but they get 7,000 across. However, that the Emerald girls just completely and utterly decimate the Ruby team. And you just see, like, Casey 9 and Tori together as a tandem. It's just incredible to watch and insane. And they just destroy and, like, dissect each of the women on the Ruby team. And they end up with $0 at the end. Lauren, are you back? Oh, man. Okay, she's not back. But, you know. Emerald wins. Hopefully Lauren's able to get back here after we hear a word from some of our sponsors.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code Survivor.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry, Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
So, Lauren, are you good?
Good now? I mean, listen, how could I not pull a Johnny or Matt on the podcast? It had to happen at some point.
Well, I'm just glad you survived that tackle and up kicks from Emmy. You're back up on your feet and you're ready to move on with this episode. So we saw the Emerald win, but we do get the comment from Tori. Like, the only bad thing about them being so successful is, like, it's now only a matter of time before someone just gets, like, frustrated with it enough that they're going to infiltrate and ruin this really good team dynamic that they have on the Emerald side.
Absolutely. It's going to happen. There's no way that those six are going to stay six strong at all. I definitely think if it's not next week, the week after that, someone is taking someone's spot over there. And they should. Break it up. Mix it up. I don't want to just see a team steamroll through this, even though I don't think they're going to be running it in cells in the final. But it's just, as a viewer, I want to see it shooken up. That's the thing. Nelson getting mad at Kyle, it's good. You want to see these shakeups. So I want to see what happens when someone infiltrates into Team Emerald.
I also just think it's only a matter, like, we're not going to be in the cells going into the final. Like, I think there's going to be a breakup, like, very soon. Of just, like, constantly just changing up how they're going about this. But that's why I like about this twist of, even though they're winning, they're not safe. Like, they're safe from elimination, but they're not safe of being taken from. So that's another level of their politics that they have to do in their decision-making of, what do we need to do in order to keep us all intact? Who won't try to infiltrate? So I am going to pause here, Austin, and just say, I know I've made my jokes in the past about Tori and her not being a good game player. I think the further that she's been away from Anissa, she is becoming a better player. Even though she still says stuff up front, I think it sort of works for her. Even when, like, things, she doesn't end up doing what she, like, initially promises people. Like we see it with Bettina. I think she does do a good job when it comes to one-on-one interactions with people and, like, really being empathetic to them and making them feel heard and seen. So I'm going to give her some props here.
I think sometimes it's best when your closest ally gets clipped from the game, because then you're not having to worry about someone else. You can just worry about yourself and play your own game, which we're seeing Tori play. Now, let's be real. The conversation with Bettina, Tori knew. She went in with an agenda completely.
Yeah.
But I get where you're coming from completely. I think her game level and politicking has definitely stepped up since Anissa has been away from the house.
Go figure. It's almost like someone who's never won the challenge in, like, 1,000 seasons of trying is a bad influence on your game.
Yeah. And we'll see if it works out for Tori. If Tori comes out and wins this season, she can say to herself, I guess I don't need Anissa to help me win. I can just win on my own.
Or, like, if she just gets to a final, because that'll be the third time she's made a final without Anissa being around. I said what I said, and I said that shit. So we do see CT. I love CT's just, like, with their comeback to house, like, oh, they get, like, this VIP, like, airport treatment, like, oh, here's some fresh water. Here's the grapes. Here's some fans. Like, we're going to fan you off. We'll feed you grapes like you're like a Greek deity. You know, it's just like, It was a good joke. I like it. They're a little high on themselves. People see that they're high on themselves. Yeah, and like Amanda's like, I think the main person who's been calling it out in confessional, and also saying like someone is going to infiltrate them at some point. Like that they can feel all safe and cushy right now, but something will happen.
The question is when though, and we will find out about it.
Yeah,
hopefully in the future.
Yeah, and but I also think what we see in this second half of the episode is how do you politic around it and also make a better team for yourself by putting fear that you could potentially infiltrate the Emerald team. So we'll like get into that at the end of this episode, because I think moves were made, and I think Josh made a true point where he's like, we made the wrong call on who we send down there, even though in reality it almost always was going to be this case. But Bettina knows that like it's going to be her. Now she's just trying to politic into it, being like, can you at least let me be the one chosen by you so I can pick my opponent? Because we all know if anyone else goes down, I'm the one who's getting picked.
For sure. I mean, Big T would always be an option for someone to pick, but if Bettina's on the table, Bettina 9 times out of 10 is going to get selected. Now, if Bettina was the house vote, goes down there, sees what it is, who do you think Bettina then selects?
Oh, she's picking Amanda.
You think so?
I think she's picking Amanda or Big T for that specific challenge. She's not going to pick Emmy in anything that requires physical endurance. But I still think Bettina loses this. She at least loses it to Amanda. Amanda has the drive and the passion. And we saw by the end of this episode, Bettina's passion for this sort of like the flame went out.
Bettina was checked out. She was, and Ashley said in her confessional, Bettina was deflated before even going down there. Once she got down there, and you can just see it throughout the lair that her head wasn't in it. And when you're checked out and you can't get the mental motivation to push forward, at that point, once you've seen your opponent get one or two, you just know you're toast.
Yeah, but it's club time. And the main point of note here is really Nelson, or there's two parts. There's the Nelson Kyle stuff. We'll do that first. So Nelson pulls Kyle aside. They have their chat. Kyle apologizes, says like, you know, it was a dick move by me. I just felt that for my own game, I needed to take your spot, be with CT and Ashley, give myself a chance to run a final and potentially win. And Nelson takes it. He respects that Kyle came to him as a man, said it straight up, didn't beat around the bush, but he's like, I won't forget it, but I'll at least like I'll forgive him for now. Cut to Kyle.
Well, okay, so I have a take on this entire situation. They could have had this conversation when they got back to the house, because Kyle didn't even get a chance to talk to Nelson one-on-one about his decision. Nelson just blew up in Kyle's face. So they could have really settled that, squashed it right then there after the previous elimination, instead of it blowing up. And the thing about it is, anytime that there's an argument or anytime that it's a blowout, it puts the target on not just you, but the other person as well. And so I think Nelson just handled that super poorly. They could have just done the entire situation that they did at the club prior to everything else.
Yeah, it's like but that's always been Nelson's weak point. Like, he's a very passionate guy, wears his heart on his sleeve. Emotions are always raw with him. He's going to have an instant reaction. He doesn't really have that ability to hold it for that long of a time and be able to like keep it level before it gets to that point. He'll pop off and then they'll apologize and like try to make up for it and move on. But Kyle's just like, yeah, I will say whatever I need to say to this man so that he does not call me into an elimination.
Yeah, smart on Kyle. I mean, you have to do what you have to do. And that sense is make up with people, because you never know if you're going to need them further down the road, because this game changes so much. And that's why I really enjoy the challenge, because we get little twists here and there, but the twists don't dominate the entire season.
Yeah. So we get a rehash of Josh talking about like, oh, I'm in the best position I've ever been in. We need to keep Emerald strong. We cut to more stuff in between like Bettina saying to the rest of Sapphire that she would pick one of the Ruby girls, depending on what the elimination is, if she was picked. Amanda doesn't buy it, so Amanda decides to fan the flames a little bit and tell Emmy that Bettina wants to take her if it's a puzzle. Give me your thoughts on what happened here before I say mine.
Amanda is one of the best at stirring the pot. She does it so many times. And I enjoy watching it because Amanda knows her strengths. She's very, very strategic and knows exactly who to talk to and when she needs to say what she needs to say. And I appreciate her gameplay for that. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, I want to hear your thoughts on the Emmy blow up when, like, really, we're talking, like, Emmy and Bettina are talking. I really don't think Bettina ever says anything bad or is mean to Emmy at all. Emmy's just, like, I think trying in her mind to make herself upset over Bettina to, like, help play into, like, oh, I want to take her out. This gives me a reason to go in, like, all that stuff. Because, like, Bettina's just, like, we know it's going to be one of us. Like, I hope I would probably call you in if I saw it was a puzzle. And, like, Emmy just goes extreme. So before I give my thing, because I have a take here, I told you a little bit offline that I had a take about this. I want to hear your reaction to the blow up.
All right. Emmy, where do you start with Emmy? Because she is the type of bomb that is waiting to explode, and you just don't know when the explosions happen because she's the most unpredictable person I have seen on one of these shows in the recent seasons. And I appreciate her fire. I appreciate her passion, but she has no idea how to rein it in. Absolutely no self-awareness on how to do that. And I actually think if she is the type of player that is able to figure that out within herself for future seasons, she's going to do really, really well because she has the physical ability. She just needs to work on her communication with people. And I think she gets a mindset in her head that she thinks someone said something a certain way. And then even if they're trying to defend it, she just says in her brain the way she heard it and then just blows up from there.
Yeah. So as a character, pure enjoyment, pure enjoyment. I would hate playing with her. And this isn't a compliment when I say this. When I see Emmy and I see this blow up tonight and like some of how she reacts to people, I get strong vibes of Camilla.
Yeah, I could see that, but I need to see where she's throwing chairs and getting in people's faces like Camilla, because Camilla was a whole nother level. But I agree with you where Emmy could get to that level that Camilla was at.
It's just, I see the signs, like her just like getting a drunken blow up, but like she brings it to such a big extreme over something that was very trivial and wasn't actually an insult to her. And it's just easily wound up by other people and like gaslighted by anyone in that house. Like it literally looks like if I was on that season, I was saying to someone else offline, I was like, I would both love and hate to play with Emmy because like I would love her because I would be able to, like anyone with a strategic mind at this point in time is able to manipulate her without any effort really. Like you could tell the truth, you can tell a lie, it doesn't really matter. You could just say one little thing and it'll pop her off and like wind her up, and then like she'll do what you ask, as long as like you're kind to her. And it's easy to be kind to someone even if you don't like them, but I would hate doing it just because it's such a wild card. And I say it with Survivor, I'll say it with Big Brother, I'll say it with the challenge, it's impossible to long term work with wild cards. As long as she's a puppet for you, it's good for now, but you have to keep thinking about when is it that she's going to blow up on you.
Well, we'll see, because I think how Emmy is, if she somewhat idolizes you or feels super, super comfortable with you like she does with CT, she's loyal to you and you can basically tell her everything, anything that you want her to do. As you said, she can be easily manipulated, but it has to be the correct person telling her what to do. And if you do one thing that turns her off from you, in my opinion, she's done with you. She's the type of person that all right, you screwed up. I want nothing to do with you anymore. And so I think CT is someone that is going to be able to navigate someone such as Emmy in future seasons. But you're right. When is the point where you have to cut ties and say, you know what? Yes, I can manipulate this person. But again, this person can also tank my game, because what if one day the script flips and they switch it off on me, then I'm screwed.
Right. So that's something that we're going to play. I very strongly predict that I think she probably does get to the final at this point. I think there's a lot of the women left that don't want to go in an elimination against her. So she may just get in just through fear alone. But I do not see her winning. I don't see her being like, something's going to happen where like maybe she's initially paired with CT, but then someone steals CT from her and then she gets screwed at the end because she's just going to be a mess and the other person's not going to be able to handle her. But I can't conclude this side. My friend John has told me I have to talk about it. We see in the club Amanda drinking wine through a straw.
Yeah, not the way I would never
seen. I have never seen anyone drink wine through a straw unless it was a frozen wine, which like a wine slushy, which are delicious. But I just found it so entertaining. Amanda's always a queen to me, so I can understand she doesn't want to put her lips up to the glass. They, you know, where has that glass been? They can wash it all they want, but
that's just Amanda not caring. And I appreciate that so much about her. Amanda's going to do Amanda, and that's why she has always been someone that I have enjoyed watching, because she's not a fake person. She's always been her.
Yeah, Amanda don't give a fuck about your feelings. Mm-mm. She's there to get her bag. She has her incentive. She has her goals in the game, in life. All respect to her. She's a strong woman. But with that, that does go into Amanda's point, where while everyone's like trying, they're thinking we're going to put Bettina in because they're not going to infiltrate Emerald, Amanda decides, I'm going to wear all my green stuff. Then I'm going to go to Devin and Tori and be like, hey, I'm just letting you know. Like, if you guys choose Bettina and not Emmy, if Bettina's going to pick me, I'm going to win because I'm the shit. And then I'm going to infiltrate and take one of the girls' spots and be part of the Emerald team. So you got to think about that. Like, what's more important to you? Who goes in or keeping yourselves intact?
And the thing I find interesting about this, because I enjoyed watching the way she went and talked to various people about what she was going to do, and they all said, we know what Amanda's doing, we know her agenda, but at the same time, was it in the back of their mind that she could definitely do that to them? Absolutely. Even though they know what she's doing, it's still something that gets your wheels spinning, because you have to consider someone could take your spot. Especially, it doesn't matter for the guys at this moment, it matters for the girls.
Absolutely. And we'll talk more about that when we get into the nominations. But before we get there, we see the Emerald group trying to like really hammer in to and brainwash Emmy into thinking going in is her idea and like encourage her to do it. But like a lot of them are starting to get tired with it. And Casey like says it where she's just like, Emmy gets too wishy-washy. One day she says she wants to go down, get partnered up with her uncle CT. Next minute she's too scared to go down, and like, she wants too much, but at the end of the day, she just needs to listen to us and do what we're telling her to do. And eventually, we get to the point where Emmy says, as if it's her own idea, like, yeah, I think I want to be the house vote, and then I can make my decision based off that. And I'm just like, girl, what's going on up here? Like, you're a funny character. You're going to be I'm not going to call it a staple yet, but she is a returner. But get some backbone.
Well, she says that she's going to do things and then decides not to do them and then thinks in the back of her mind that she made the idea or came up with the plan, even though people have basically told her what she's going to do. And she all of a sudden, all right, I agree with you guys, even though she changes her mind 20 different times. But at the end of the day, she always says, yes, I'm with you. I'm with the vets.
Yeah. And like the Emmanuel's even just like, she's not confident. We're more confident in her abilities than she is. We know better for her than she does. And I'm just like the issue is they're treating her like she's 10.
Well,
like she's in her 20s at least. Like, I don't know what her age is. I forget what it is. But like, she isn't a toddler, but they like you. It's very condescending how everyone talks to her. Because they like are like in parent mode, like, oh no, sweetie, you're doing good. Like, you want to do this. So, you know, get up on the slide. You're going to go down the slide. It's going to be fun. Don't be scared. Like, it's a little, like, it's very manipulative, and I'm all for manipulation. But it also just irks me in a way that she just like full heartedly buys in and drinks the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, but maybe next season she won't be drinking the Kool-Aid.
Oh,
maybe
she's drinking the Kool-Aid. She's drinking the Kool-Aid for life.
Listen.
It's blue. She loves blue.
Listen, though. Listen here. If you go back and watch yourself on a season and just see how people are literally talking to you and then you do exactly what they say, aren't you going to get a clue and say, you know what? I'm not going to just listen to what everyone tells me to do. I'm going to have my own thoughts.
Lauren. What show are we watching?
We are watching The Challenge.
How many people who have played The Challenge all time, what percentage of them have actually gone, watched it, and actually improved upon themselves? Or versus how many have come and done the same exact thing over and over and over again?
So,
what's that proportion?
Small improvements from some people because they finally realize who they are.
What you're asking of Emmy is a big improvement.
Well, okay, we've seen it where people have had growth. The growth, however, years down the road, that would say a lot to do get to that point.
Yeah. Man. But yeah, we go into nominations. Bettina tries to say she wants to go in. But we get, it's more a reiteration of Amanda saying, like, hey, if you guys throw Bettina in, she's going to, and if for some reason I'm the one who goes down there against her, I'm going to be Emerald after this. Team Emerald, baby. And we hear Tori just like bluntly say, and I don't think she was saying this like an intimidation factor to Amanda, but she's like, well, obviously we don't want you to go down there and then also win, because then you have all the power in that situation. So at the end of the day, the Emerald team makes a self-preservation move and goes with their plan and puts in Emmy instead of putting in Bettina.
Well, the thing about them putting in Emmy is they knew 99% that Emmy was going to select to go to Sapphire because she wanted to be with CT. Yeah. And I think that is really what drove their decision to make that call and put Emmy in instead of Bettina as the house vote.
But like, while they kept saying like, yes, she wants to go to the CT, I think they were more concerned not with, oh, she's going to CD, but they're like, oh, she's not coming to us and bringing us up. Like, that's their driving factor. Like, oh, yeah, she's going to CT, like, in the back of their mind. And then, like, after everything happens, like, they're like, oh, we shouldn't have done that. But we see Emmy is the vote. And we see, like, before the nomination and during after the nomination, CT and Devin, like, sort of talking to Emmy and being like, you know, you don't have to take Bettina down with you. Like, if you keep Bettina in the game, she's gonna be called out before you as the rookie girl. Like, without Bettina here, you're most likely gonna get called out again because of the fact that you're a rookie. So you could go against maybe an Amanda or a Big T. Like, you could call one of them down, and like, CT's like, I'm fine with that. Like, either way, you're going to win and you're going to join my team.
So, you know, would have been interesting if she did select Big T to go down, because just based on what the elimination was, Emmy's going to win that elimination, in my opinion, unless Big T pulls some magic out. You never know. You have to give people their shot. But Emmy, in my opinion, just wins it. So then Emmy decides to take Bettina's spot. Bettina then goes over to Rubé. And then Emmy joins Amanda, Ashley, CT, and Kyle. I think that would have been a great sell right there.
Definitely. And it's very interesting. That's what I like about this part of the game, is just like all the different scenarios you could do here. There's so many, and so many of them could legitimately shake the game up. But it's now time for the lair. Get into that elimination. Emmy I'm not going to fuck around with the vets. I'm going to do what they told me to do, and I'm going to bring down Bettina.
Mm-hmm. I know she's on the puppet strings right now, but, like, here's the deal. Do you blame her? She knew.
I just don't think that was necessary for her to say. Like, it hurts me more hearing her say that because it's her openly admitting that she's a puppet. And it's like, and that she's self-aware enough to know that she's a puppet and not doing anything about it. And let's be real. Like, that was her game this season. Her game was, I'm going to be a puppet for the vets from the get-go, decimate the other rookies, but they're going to keep me around because I'm the one who was snitching on the rookies and would be loyal to them, which allows me to get screen time because I'm going to be longer in this game. So, you know, in that play, that's smart on her. She was still very much manipulated, even though she's self-aware that she's being manipulated.
And it's self-survival as well, because the longer you're on the show, it gives people, as you said, more opportunity to see you, therefore more of a reason to bring you back for a future season, which we've seen her do what she needs to do in order to make that happen. So at the end of the day, even if she doesn't make the final, or if she does make the final, doesn't win, check mark, she's coming back.
Right. I just think ultimately... I think the right move would have actually been like calling out Big T.
Yeah, that's
like,
what I said.
Beat it. Yeah, like you said, like beat Big T. You take Bettina's spot. Bettina goes to Ruby. Now, like Ruby is only having four people. Blue has five, but you still have three girls there and you have Kyle and CT. That isn't, like you said, an even stronger group.
Yep.
That could have happened. So, like, I love Big T, but I think, like, strategically, that should have been the move people were thinking of, the Sapphire people should have been thinking of making. Because then it also goes to the CT swing of, well, Bettina's still around, so the next time there's a girl elimination, people are going to want to call out Bettina and not call out you.
Yeah. Well, every decision, there's a consequence. So we're going to see if it impacts someone else in the game, or if it's a move that benefits Emmy's game. We're going to see.
Yeah, so it's bombs away. You're swinging a missile, trying to get momentum there and hit five targets. First to hit all five of your targets wins. We did see this earlier this season, right? Or something along this line.
It definitely wasn't this elimination in particular, but maybe something that was similar.
I feel like we saw something like this, but I just can't remember off the top of my head. But I like the elimination itself. You definitely need to have good upper body strength and just like, it's not even stamina. It's just like, you just need to have the ability. Once you get the momentum going, it's just about shifting the momentum, which isn't as much work. So I think like, that's why Emmy was doing it better, obviously, but she was also doing it smarter by releasing the rope and allowing gravity to control it at least coming back. Like you're putting the force, throwing it up, but by allowing gravity to take it back, you don't have to do as much effort when you swing it back around. Now it's just, let me get more precision.
For sure. And Emmy also figured out the rhythm of it very, very quickly. Whereas Bettina was all over the place. She would push it forward and then she would catch the rope.
I think Bettina was like, yes, she was checked out, but I think also it was just like, I think Corey was right. It was just that she would keep stopping the momentum as if she was trying to redirect it. But then by redirecting it, you lose all the momentum that you just gained. So now you have to put more effort in to regain that swing.
She just didn't have the right strategy. And that's the thing. Sometimes if you don't got it, you ain't going to win it.
Yeah. So Bettina gets swept. Emmy wins 5-0. I'm tired of her crying in the sand and looking surprised that she won and screaming for her mom and her grandmother. And Romania, like, I'm done with that part. Like, girl, you've won three times. You don't need to be crying in hysterics that you won an elimination. It's not cute anymore.
I think that's just part of her character and the way that she is. And you have to respect that, too. Like, that is literally her. And she's not being, I don't think, in my opinion, she's being fake at all in this season. I think that's her complete reaction to everything.
Well, I think she's faking different scenes. But, like, everyone's fake a little bit in these, or not even fake, just like you're playing something up. I think it's 100% her. I think it's 100% genuine. I'm just like, as a viewer,
oh yeah,
I'm over it. Like, I would rather her just be, like, called, like, cursing out people and, like, doing a parade off like that, or, like, cursing out Batista to her face because she won or whatever. But she's not going to do that. So we're going to have to deal with her crying in the sand every single time that she wins something. Which is, I guess we're fine, but hopefully that's something that is in the past when she comes back on a new, possibly next season. But yeah, so Batina goes. Batina definitely would have been like Johnny's fan, or Johnny would have been Batina's fan this episode just because of what she was wearing in all of her confessionals.
Oh my gosh, yeah, we didn't get those comments.
Yes, yes. They were very much out there. the only person who compete with those are Ashley, which obviously is Johnny's true number one. But we get the decision time now for Emmy. Emmy needs to make a choice, and obviously she seals Amanda's spot, is now part of Sapphire, Amanda's now part of Ruby, but what everyone just realizes, oh, this team now has the strongest female rookie, you have Ashley, a two-time winner, you have CT, a multi-time winner, and Legend, and who everyone wants to be on a team with because he just wins, and you have Kyle, who has come second on multiple finals.
Well, that's their problem for not factoring in all those different pieces, because they knew which team Emmy was going to go to if she won.
Right. It's fear of self-preservation for avoiding elimination, but by doing so, you're allowing a new dynamic to be created. And we'll have to see what happens there. I did notice also, I forgot that put in there during nominations. I love the CT comment saying that he's not Oprah. I can't just hand out finals to everybody. that was great. I also loved the sweatshirt he was wearing, the one that was like the King of Spades hoodie.
Yeah, represents him well.
Yeah, yeah, he's a king.
Yeah,
wins a lot. At this rate, he's probably winning this season too.
Unbelievable. He very well could pull it out. And
these people.
I'm not gonna lie. It's CT. CT's magic. CT's amazing. And if CT wins it all, I'm not complaining, because he just manipulated everyone and they never decide to throw him in. So hopefully some people get a clue and decide to do so. But I get it. No one wants to go against CT on a one-on-one elimination.
Yeah. So like I'll just do like it's not a halfway point or anything. But like when I look at the board right now, the two guys that I expect to have the best chance to win, just what I see there, are CT and Kyle. Like, mm-hmm. Those two are the guys that I'm thinking have the best chance to win from the guy's side. Girls, I'm still 100% on Casey, but, like, I guess I need to start raising Tori's stock some more, because she is playing better and she is more than serviceable in challenges.
Yeah. I think those are the top contenders at the moment. I'm even going to throw in Ashley as a potential option as well to have a shot at winning this season.
Yeah. For me, it's always just like Ashley has to get there. And if her team's always vulnerable, that like, it just makes it harder for her. Whereas like Tori and Casey are on a path where like, they're not going to get called out to go in. So I feel fair. They have the most likely path to get to the end. Of the four that I mentioned, Kyle has the least chance of those four to get there, just because someone will probably call him out again. But we'll see. But that wraps up this week's episode. We will be back next week, same time, covering episode 13 of Challenge Spies, Lies, and Allies. Obviously, on Wednesdays, we have the recaps with Matt, Johnny, and myself. And Lauren, do you want to talk about your deep dive that you do with Alex Rubino?
Yeah, deep dive. Just be on the lookout. We'll schedule it here on the podcast. It kind of fluctuates depending on which guests we have on every single week. But we've had some great Survivor guests on. And the previous weeks, we've had Janet on. We've had Brett on. We've had Mama C on. Johnny's made an appearance. So definitely check us out for the deep dive podcast of Survivor Weekly.
Yeah, absolutely. And if as a new month is coming in, there's never been a better time to become a patron at Reality NSFW. If you go to adfreensfw.com, you become a patron for Reality NSFW, where you join the secret Facebook page group. It's a great community with other people who love reality television. And you'll also get Matt and Johnny's coverage of Australian Survivor as they're going back in time and watching currently the third season of the rebooted version of Australian Survivor. They're having a blast covering that, as well as doing the weekly Q&A podcast where the patrons get to ask them anything and everything, not just about Survivor, but just about anything you think of, they will answer it. It's their favorite podcast of the week. And if you don't like it, just get in contact with Johnny. He'll give you your money back. No one's a hostage here. But remember to smash the like button. If you aren't subscribed to the YouTube channel or to wherever you listen to it, if you're listening to it on audio, on podcast feed, subscribe and press that bell for all notifications when you know, so that you know when new stuff drops. But with that, that's been Lauren. I'm Alex. We'll see you next time. Cheers.
Autumn is in the air. The pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants pumpkins when you're grooming, if you know what I'm saying. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR.
Now listen, I have had my fair share of mishaps in the past, and going into Halloween, the guys like to dress scary, the girls like to dress inviting, and as a result, you're bound to get your pants down if you do things right. Well, you don't want a big bush down there. You want those things freshly trimmed, shaved so perfectly. Don't use a razor. Go to Manscaped. It's the only way, or you will not be getting treats, but only tricks.
It's time to bundle up with the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies.
First off, the new Performance Package 4.0 includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. And if you're looking to cozy up this fall, this trimmer is essential.
Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn a 4000 LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Plus, it's waterproof.
I hate shaving in the dark. That 4000 LED spotlight, perfect. But the Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. So you use the Lawnmower 4.0 for your rear, use this for your ear. This nose and hair trimmer uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system to provide proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps against nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand.
That's all they're talking about at Target these days. It's crazy. Then after trimming the pumpkin patch and whacking the leaves, give your balls a boost and use the Crop Reviver. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. You see me on the road, I have the Manscaped Shed Travel Bag with me everywhere I go. Get comfy on the home and on the go this season.
So get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Make your balls a priority this fall. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Promo code SURVIVOR. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food, and realize I basically can't eat anything anymore. I mean, I used to love eating that delicious cereal, but I can't. But wait, I can, thanks to Magic Spoon.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories a serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. Plus, build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my new favorite, maple waffle.
Magic Spoon just recently brought back two super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle, just like you're talking about, Johnny, permanently. When these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. You should make sure to get these again and try them for the first time. They're delicious and indulgent.
Every morning I wake up, I look into my cabinets. All I have is Magic Spoon cereal. I have all the options. And I'll do a little bit of I'll mix some cookies of cream with a little cinnamon, maybe cocoa and peanut butter. But oh man, that maple waffle just by itself is just something so spectacular. Hey, they're perfect not only for breakfast, but that guiltless midnight snack.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use promo code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. And thank you to Magic Spoon.